Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome to another episode of Mystery Frequency. Please check out the descriptions for links to everything related to the show. My social media, my website, my store. So please take a look at those. And while you're there, if you enjoy this podcast, please don't forget to follow, review, and rate. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
Cooperation with police and federal departments throughout the United States. The radio program that brings you authentic facts on criminal case histories.
Sloan's Liniment presents Gangbusters. Tonight, from the files of the New York City Police, official facts on the Broadway and Coney Island murders.
Speaking of murderous careers, are you working part-time for the Axis? No, of course not, and don't be indignant. I merely wanted to make my point. Maybe your back or your arm is working for the Axis without you knowing it. You see, if you have an aching back, a stiff neck, or a sore arm as a result of overexertion, strain, or fatigue, and you don't do anything about it fast enough, you're losing valuable time and effort and playing right into the hands of the enemy. The quickest and most effective relief for muscular aches and pains is Sloan's Liniment, because Sloan's is the easy pat-on liniment that works just like a heat treatment without any painful rubbing or massage. You see, the actual pain of muscular distress is caused by blood congestion. But when you pat on Sloan's Liniment, a soothing, concentrated warmth quickly penetrates to the affected spot, breaks up that congestion, and helps permit the blood to circulate freely again. Your arm feels almost like new, and so do you. So next time muscular distress attacks and you need help in a hurry, get Sloan's Liniment. And now, gangbusters, in the case of the unknown killer. Picture our setting as a special office turned over to gangbusters by Commissioner Louis J. Valentine of the New York City Police for a proxy interview between Colonel H. Norman Schwarzkopf, United States Army, and Inspector Charles N. Stilson, New York City Police, retired.
Thank you, Charles Stark. Inspector Stilson, tonight's case is one of the strangest in many years.
Yes, Colonel Schwarzkopf. For the police were not only dealing with cold-blooded murder, but a gang leader whose identity was unknown even in the underworld.
Where does tonight's case begin, Inspector Stilson?
Well, Colonel Schwarzkopf, it was 10 minutes after midnight of April the 16th, 1939. A man sat before a battered roll-top desk in a dimly lit office on a side street off Broadway, New York City. He was busily stuffing rolls of bills into a black leather briefcase. Suddenly, the telephone rang.
Yeah, who is it?
That you, Mercurio?
Who is this?
Mean to say you don't recognize my voice? Who are you trying to kid?
Oh, it's you. Where are you? I mean, in town, where are you?
Never mind where I am. I want to see you, Mercurio.
No, wait a minute. You got me wrong.
Did I say anything? I just said I'm going to pay you a little visit, say in about 20 minutes.
No, wait. Let me explain. You got it all wrong.
Have I? Still kidding yourself, huh? I'm coming up to your office, Mercurio, and I'm putting daylight into your brain.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Get those money. The briefcase.
my way, Mercurio?
You? What? I thought you said 20 minutes. I...
Just my little joke. I was calling from the phone booth next door.
Listen, let's talk this over. Can't we talk it over?
The gun's in my overcoat pocket. Shall we turn up this alley?
Alex.
Get going.
Please, you've got to believe me. I wasn't holding out your share of the door. Honest, I was.
A nice little alley to walk in, isn't it?
Look, the door's in this briefcase. You can have all of it, every cent.
Big-hearted guy all of a sudden.
Yeah, take the briefcase. Now we're square, pal. We're square.
That's right, Mercurio. All but this.
We can talk in this compartment. What do you want to know?
Well, he's this way, copper. This guy what sent you to Chicago to get me. He's a big shot, ain't he?
Figure they come.
How come he sent for me?
Well, you see, Gonzalez, the guy whose job you're taking double-crossed him. So there's an open spot in his mouth.
Oh.
You see, the boss keeps his ear to the ground. He hears that you're doing a good job in Chicago, so he sends for you.
What kind of guy this boss is, copper?
I don't know too much about him myself, Gonzalez.
Huh? You're his head man, ain't you?
Yeah, sure. But it don't pay to get curious. Not with this guy.
Where are we going to meet in New York? His office or headquarters?
Boss don't have no headquarters. Like that, people he don't want to see can't pay surprise visits.
Hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah. He does all his business on crowded subway stations. So that's where we're going to meet him.
I've been down in New York subway.
Yeah? Well, this is the busiest subway station in the world, Gonzalez. Times Square.
Hey, where do you suppose all these people are going, huh?
Who cares? Come on, we'll walk down to this end of the station where it's less noise, huh?
We gotta wait long?
You can answer that as well as me. Well, I know he was told to wait.
Hello, Captain.
Oh. Boss, I didn't see you back at that post.
And you're Gonzalez.
That's right. Glad to know you.
I've heard some good things from Chicago about you, Gonzalez. Handy with a rod, they tell me.
Sure. Both hands.
Good. I'll try that hand of yours tonight on the payroll job.
Capper,
yes. Get a car and we'll meet at the usual place near Coney Island at 8 o'clock.
All right, boss.
Okay, now separate and I'll see you tonight. That's the movie house over there by the boardwalk. Now, you've got your part straight, Capper.
Yeah, sure, killer. I stay in the car and be ready for the getaway.
How about you, Gonzalez?
Very sure. When the manager comes out with the money, I massage him with the bullet.
For the last time, I'm telling you that I'll handle the manager. You take care of the cop who'll be with him.
Well, I figured I handled both of them.
You do what you're told.
Hey, boss, they're coming out of the movie now.
Okay, Gonzalez, get out of the car. Capper. Be ready for a fast getaway.
I'll be ready.
Come on, Gonzalez. Keep your gun out of sight till we're on top of him.
Have a boss. Okay now?
A few more steps. Just look at that cop. He's thinking. Now, kill him.
Help! Hold up! Help!
We've got no time to waste on you, mister. I got the money.
Hey, wait, the cop ain't dead yet. Now he is.
Here comes the car.
Come on, boss. Up in. Nice job.
Shut up. Get going. Come on, get going.
Urgent. The Coleman Leon Fox murdered by bandits in holdup on Surf Avenue, Coney Island. All patrolmen in Coney Island area, canvas section for eyewitnesses to crime. Homicide squad report to headquarters at once.
Come in.
Captain Ennis and his man out here want to see you about Coney Island murder.
Bring him in, Sergeant Hurley.
Sergeant. Is this the officer I talked to?
I'm Captain Dennison. The sergeant says you had some information about Patrolman Fox's murder.
That's right, Cap. My name is Figgy Nash. I'm a photographer. You know, I take pictures.
Movies?
Well, sort of. You know, you're moving along the sidewalk, and I snapped your picture. And you send me two bits, and you get the real art job. You know?
I see. And now, about the information you have.
Yeah, well, on this night when the two rods burned down the copper, the policeman, I'm working Fifth Avenue across from the movie house.
Then you saw the holdup?
Well, no, not exactly, Cap. You see, I'm busy pursuing my profession. I'm taking a close-up of a slick chick that's anchoring down the avenue, and then the fireworks start.
Oh.
Later, though, I develops the picture, and I takes one look, and I figure that's the McCoy. Here, take a gander at this.
Yeah, that's very nice, but... Hey, what's that in the background?
That's why I said it's the McCoy. You see, there's a guy sitting in a car. As soon as the shooting starts, he gets underway and he picks up them two stick-ups.
Good work, Siggy. Sergeant, come here.
Yes, sir?
Now, Sergeant, take this photograph down to identification. Have them make a blow-up of the face of that man in the car. See if anybody can identify him.
Yes, sir.
Siggy, I want you to know that we're grateful for your cooperation.
Oh, I think nothing of it, Cap. It's all private day's work. She sure was a slick chick, wasn't she, huh? Ain't often I get a dame what's so photogenic. What's on, Cap?
Captain Dennison's office.
Sergeant Hurley, sir. I'm down at identification now. We've identified the man in the car.
Excellent, Sergeant. Who is he?
A gunman named Kappa. We've had him in on several homicides, but he's been able to wriggle out of them. Served time for assault some years back.
Have Kappa picked up immediately, Sergeant.
I'll get the men on her right away, Captain. We know Kappa's usual hangouts. Should only take a couple of hours.
All right, get going.
You say that fellow Kappa spends a lot of time here in your pool room, Bonnie.
Oh, yes, sir, Sergeant. He's a nice boy, too. You know, he's never no trouble.
What's he do for a living? Working?
Work, eh? Why? When he's so lucky with the dice, why work, eh?
What makes you think he's lucky?
Why, only the other day he come to me, I got a chance of $120 in a silver, two bills. I shouldn't be so lucky. Oh, here he comes now. Hello, Captain.
Hello, Spenny.
Hello.
Just a minute, Captain.
How are you?
Sergeant Hurley, police department.
What do you want from me? I ain't done nothing.
Sure, sure. It's just what I tell him, Captain. He's all right.
We'd just like to have you drop down to headquarters for a little talk.
Suppose they don't want to come.
Well, I think I can persuade you.
Okay, I got nothing to worry about. No. Keep that corner table empty, Fanny. I'll be back in a half an hour.
All right, all right.
Come on, Captain. Captain's anxious to get the answers to those questions.
It's a Fanny. You think it's in a quiz program.
Yes, you think it's a quiz. It's funny.
Personally, I prefer crooners, Captain. I kind of think you're going to croon plenty.
All right, Capper, it's no use calling around anymore. You're going to tell us who the two other men were who killed Patrolman Fox.
For the love of Mike, Captain, ain't you been listening to me? I tell you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Stand up when you talk to Captain.
Okay.
All right now, Capper. Who were the two men you picked up in that car after the shooting?
I tell you, I didn't pick up no one. I was just driving along.
Just driving along, huh? Just drive? Who told you to stand up?
He said the sergeant.
Well, sit down and hurry up about it.
Okay, okay.
What are you doing driving along Surf Avenue?
Just driving along, I tell you.
So that's all you got to say for yourself, just driving, huh?
Okay, Kappa, put your hat on. We're going up to the DA's office.
It's okay with me. It'd be better than all these questions you guys...
Take that hat off.
The sergeant just told me to
put it... And who told you to stand up? Didn't I say sit down?
Yeah, sure.
Well, sit down.
Okay, you guys better make up your mind.
Who are the men in that car with you?
I tell you, there were no guys in the car with
me. What are you waiting for? I said to come along with me.
Holy smoke, what are you guys trying to do?
Stand up and you talk to the sergeant.
Will you just call me now?
Stand up, I told you. What are you going to tell us about the two other men in the killing?
Oh, give me a break, will you? I can't think straight. First you tell me to stand up, sit down. He tells me to put
on that head off.
I didn't mean nothing, Captain. I was just showing
you. Never gave Fox a break, Kappa.
You drove the murder car, Kappa.
No, I'm not telling you.
You said before you did drive the car.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
if I'd go easier on her if you'd cooperate.
Stand on your feet when the captain's talking to you.
I don't know nothing. I tell you, I wasn't near the movie that night.
You said you were driving along Surf Avenue, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's right by the movie, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Show him that photograph, Sergeant.
There you are, my friend. See what's directly behind you?
The movie house where the killing took place.
I'm being framed, I tell you.
Get back in that chair.
Oh, let up, will you?
Where'd you get $120 in silver the day after the holdup?
In a quad game, I tell you.
You're lying, Capper. Who's in this with you?
Nobody. I ain't in
you
it.
You fired the first shot.
I didn't. Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. He says you did. You going to let him pin it on you?
Who is Gonzalez? I don't know any Gonzalez.
You just said you did.
Stand up on your feet. Okay.
Gonzalez wouldn't front for you like this.
Let me think, will you?
What are you standing up for?
I'll lay off, will you?
This is your last chance, Capper. Where's Gonzalez?
Tell us
about Gonzalez.
Come on. Okay, okay. Okay, I'll tell you. Only let up on me. He's at the Element Hotel, room 704. Now, will you leave me alone?
Who's the other one?
I won't tell you. I don't know nothing. You can't make me say no more.
All right, Sergeant, take him away. We're going over to that hotel and pay a call on this fellow Gonzalez.
Front boy.
Yeah, Mr. Crane.
Take this luggage up to room 501.
All this stuff for one guy? He must be the poor Hawaiian.
Never mind the wisecracks. Take the stuff up.
Honest, Mr. Crane, I can't. My back's so sore, I just can't lift anything.
Didn't you pat that Sloan's liniment on?
Well, see, I meant to, Mr. Crane, but a couple of boys came up.
You go to the drugstore and get some Sloan's liniment.
I just pat it on, huh? Not rub it.
Right, just pat Sloan's on. It'll work like a heat treatment.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Crane. Hey, wasn't that Captain Dennison just went up the elevator with that police sergeant?
Never mind that. You go get that Sloan's liniment and pat it on quick. Yes. And get back here fast so you can get to work. Here's the hotel room, Captain, 704.
All right. You know how to handle it, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Have your gun ready. There's no telling what we may walk into. Gonzalez is not in.
Yeah. Telegram for you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Telegram? Oh, okay. Shove it under the door.
It's collect. 63 cents I gotta get.
Okay. Wait a second.
Okay, what is that? Hey! So what is this?
It's a police special 38 caliber. I wouldn't try to reach that artillery in your shoulder harness if I were you.
I'll take that gun, Gonzalez. Got a permit for it?
Who are you guys?
I'm Captain Dennison. This is Sergeant Hurley. We're arresting you for carrying a gun without a permit. And if it happens that the bullets from that gun match the bullets that killed Patrolman Fox, it's murder.
I've been framed. What brought you here?
Pally, you was named Capper. Remember him? He told us where we'd find you.
Capper. Dirty rat. You should have stayed in Chicago.
Want to talk, Gonzalez, or are you going to take the rap for your pal?
I don't know nothing.
Who was the third man, Gonzalez?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Anything interesting around, Sergeant?
Here's something. What do you make of it, Captain?
I keep Gonzalez covered, Sergeant. Let me see. It's a memo pad. It's like a number was written on the top sheet, then torn off.
Yes, but you can see the indentation on the next sheet.
I think I can make it out. It looks like... Let's see. EQ. Equator. I can't make out the numbers.
What are they, Gonzalez? You're doing swell, copper.
All right, Gonzalez, we'll show you something. First, we'll take this piece of pencil lead and blow the graphite dust over the indentations like this.
Make anything of it?
It's equator 5-3. I can't quite make out the rest.
Who's had that number, Gonzalez? I should tell you, my girlfriend's. If you're taking me to headquarters, take me to headquarters.
It looks like 213.
I'll try it, Captain, see what we get. No answer.
Well, let's go to headquarters.
You seem pretty anxious, Gonzalez. We're waiting right here.
Huh?
Whoever the third man is, he'll probably get in touch with you. And without knowing it, he's also going to get in touch with us.
Well, you guys got me in a gunshot. What do you want to wait around here for?
Shut up, Gonzalez.
Sergeant, get that phone number to headquarters and have the men check its location.
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, I'll notify the telephone company and have them put an extension phone in this room right away.
Oh, I get it, sir.
Yes. We're going to wait here and listen in on whoever phones our friend. So sit down, Gonzalez. Make yourself comfortable. We're here for the duration. Sit down.
How about some midnight coffee, Captain? Should I phone down to the hotel first?
Yeah, and look, copper, make it a hamburger, too, will you? I'm hungry.
Stay sitting in that chair, Gonzalez.
Have the men check that phone number, Sergeant?
Yes, Captain. It's a bar room. They're keeping it under watch.
We'll wait in this hotel room all week if necessary till Gonzalez gets a call.
And remember, Gonzalez, we'll be listening on the extension form. Say just what you're told and not another word.
But it's two against one. What can I...
Okay. Get a gun on Gonzalez.
You bet.
Now, Gonzalez, lift that receiver the same time I lift this extension form.
Hello?
Gonzalez?
Yeah.
Where's Kappa?
Tell him he's up here.
Go on.
He's up here.
I told him to wait at his rooming house, didn't I? Put him on the phone.
Tell him you can't. He's drunk.
Go on if you know what's good for you.
He can't. He's all ginned up.
What? I'm down in the lobby. I'll be right up.
Quick, Sergeant. Handcuff Gonzalez and shove him in that closet.
No, you don't.
Drag him out of there quickly and save him. There's a front door, Sergeant. Come on. Look out. Mr.
Sergeant.
Bullets went right by my head. There he goes, down the corridor. Stop!
He's making the elevators, Captain.
Watch it, he's going to shoot again.
He got away into that elevator.
Get to a phone. Call downstairs, have the lobby covered.
Captain, the elevator indicator. It's going up.
All right, we'll see where it stops and rush to that floor.
Stopping at 10.
Okay, come on, up the stairs, man.
Noise? Sounded like shots. Well,
probably a touch backfiring, honey.
Oh. Are you almost ready to leave?
As soon as I comb my hair.
I'm going to phone the hotel manager downstairs. I'm certain that wasn't a shot. Oh.
Don't move.
Who are you?
Shut up.
I'm all ready to...
What is this?
Don't talk.
Eddie has a gun. Do as he says.
That's smart, sister. I've already killed two guys in my life, and I'll kill you if I have to.
What do you want?
The cops have got me sewed up in this hotel. You're going to hide me until the coast is clear.
Do as he says, Ed. I'm frightened.
You, sister, come here.
What for?
You're just about my size. Maybe I can squeeze into your clothes and get out of here.
Take your hands off my wife.
Keep back or I'll pump a bullet into
you. Oh, no, you don't.
Ed! You killed my husband.
Get out of my way before I give you the same.
Please!
Stupid dame.
Together. Tell us what.
My husband, he killed him.
Well, we've got the hotel surrounded. The killer can't get away. That's probably for me. Yeah?
This is Sergeant Hurley, Captain. He's been spotted on the mezzanine. We're cutting it off now.
Good. How about the elevators?
All cut off, Captain. All staircases are covered, and all guests have been notified not to unlock their doors.
All right, Sergeant. Bring an elevator up to this floor. I'll meet you at the elevator shaft.
Yes, sir. Be right up.
Has he been sighted since you spoke to me, Sergeant?
No, sir.
Well, he must still be on the mezzanine. Now, take me down there.
We've got all exits covered, sir. He can't get out.
He's already killed one person in the hotel. He may kill others. Come on. We'll go over every foot of this floor ourselves.
Captain, down there. Someone coming out that doorway.
It's him. See the gun?
He ran back inside.
Come on. Careful, though. Maybe right around this corner.
He is. He's running into a dead end. According to the floor plan, this leads to the main ballroom.
There he goes, through that door at the far end.
That's the ballroom. All exits are covered.
Careful. We make a good target, and we can't see him.
Hey, back up, I'll shoot!
My arm. He winged me.
I'm going in after.
Careful, Captain. He's gun crazy.
There's only one way to treat a mad dog. Come on out while you're still alive.
Stay back! Call your men off!
You haven't got a chance.
Stay back, I tell you! I'll get you like I get the rest of them. Stay back!
You're finished. If you kill me, there'll be others. They'll keep coming till they get you. Come on out.
You ain't taking me.
You'll be running out of bullets soon. It's your last chance to give up.
No! You ain't taking me! No!
Captain, you all right?
I'm all right, Sergeant. That this fellow isn't going to give us any more trouble.
Captain, look who he is.
Yeah. Abe Beetler, the killer.
The guy we've been after for the killing of that bookie.
Yeah. No one will ever know how many men Beetler really killed. Funny that his last victim should be himself.
Yes, Colonel Schwarzkopf. The ambushing of Abe Beetler in a crowded New York City hotel after he had already killed an innocent man living there was one of the most tense and dangerous situations that I know of.
Well, thanks to the fearless work of those police officers, Inspector Stilton, Beetler's only escape proved to be one that removed him forever as a menace to society. Thank you, Inspector Stilton, for telling these facts. And now, Gangbusters listeners, we're going to bring you urgent nationwide clues on persons who are being sought this very minute by police and federal authorities throughout the country.
These nationwide clues that have played a vital part in bringing almost 300 criminals to justice so far are broadcast every week by Gangbusters, brought to you by Sloan's Liniment. For half a century, Sloan's Liniment has been helping millions of Americans handle surprise attacks of muscular distress. Here's how. You just pat Sloan's on. Almost immediately, it goes to work like a heat treatment, swiftly, comfortingly. Yes, you'll actually feel that welcome penetrating warmth and its promise of quick and blessed relief. So don't let muscular distress get you down. Don't stand one single moment of needless suffering. Be prepared with a bottle of Sloan's Liniment on your medicine shelf at home and an extra bottle handy at your job. Remember, when muscular distress attacks and you need help in a hurry, get Sloan's Liniment. And now, Gangbusters Clues.
Gangbusters listeners, our first clue tonight concerns a dangerous subject, Fred Williams Poole, against whom a complaint was filed before United States Commissioner, Columbia, South Carolina, charging Poole with fleeing across state lines to avoid prosecution for murder. Note this man's official description very carefully.
Fred Williams Poole, many aliases, 56, 5 feet, 7 or 1 half inches, 145 pounds, brown hair, graying, blue eyes, upper and lower front teeth missing, walks with head down, has long criminal record, and is reported to have in possession 2 machine guns, and 45 caliber automatic pistol. Watch for Fred Williams Poole.
Here is an urgent wire just received from Warden Alfred Dowd, Indiana State Prison. It concerns convict Ralph L. Williams, who escaped from Honor Prison Farm while serving a 10-year sentence for robbery. This is Williams' description.
Ralph L. Williams, 26, 5 feet 10 inches, 150 pounds, dark brown hair, blue eyes, scar left side forehead, letters L-O-V-E tattooed on 4 fingers, numbers 1935 and word O'Donnell on upper forearm. This man reported to have escaped Honor Prison Farm, Indiana State Prison. Be on lookout for Ralph L. Williams.
These are the clues on persons wanted tonight, June 9th, 1944, right this moment. If you have any information on these clues, notify your local police, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. And now the highlight facts on next week's case. Colonel Schwarzkopf.
Gangbusters friends, next week we have one of the most dramatic case histories ever presented. The crimes of the woman gang leader. It's a case of many unexpected surprises and developments. I invite you to listen.
To next week's Gangbusters Factual Case Histories. Gangbusters Factual Case Histories is a Philip H. Lord production for the makers of Sloan's Liniment. Remember, when you want help in a hurry, get Sloan's Liniment.
Mr. Stark, how do you play? pronounce N-O-N-S-P-I?
Non-spy? I pronounce it safe from offending.
Oh.
Because it acts instantly, dries quickly, and keeps you bath fresh from 1 to 3 days.
Good. How do medical authorities pronounce N-O-N-S-P-I?
Non-spy? They pronounce it safe from skin irritation.
Oh.
Because so many medical authorities have found it to be non-injurious to the most delicate skin tissues when used according to directions.
Wonderful. How do laboratories pronounce N-O-N-S-P-I?
Non-spy? They pronounce it safe from clothes damage.
Oh.
Yes, the Better Fabrics Testing Bureau reports that their analysis shows no damage can be done to clothing by non-spy if user follows directions.
Perfect.
It's the new liquid deodorant. Comes in 35 and 60 cent sizes at all drug and department stores. Now, may I ask how you pronounce N-O-N-S-P-I?
Well, after hearing how everyone else pronounces non-spy, I pronounce it best.
This is the Blue Network.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case history. Gangbusters. And now to gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has asked Chief J.A. Pitcock, who recently retired as Chief of Police, Little Rock, Arkansas, after 31 years of service, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the costume killer.
Chief Pitcock, from what you've told me, I know tonight's case is so fantastic, the facts about this criminal are hard to believe.
Yes, Don Gardner, but I've got his signed confession to murder right here in my hand.
Well, when did you first hear of this man, Chief Pitcock?
Well, Don, our reports start not too many months ago in the city of Paragould, Arkansas. A tall, slim man about 40 had been sitting in the front parlor of his rooming house. He'd heard a knock at the door, and he was on his way to answer it.
All right.
Hello, Mr. Osprey.
Well, come in, Joy. Don't stand there like a tired old field horse.
Yes, sir. Look, Mr. Osprey, don't be sore at me because I...
Don't tell me here. Come on in the parlor.
Yeah.
Kids. Spend your days and nights trying to pound a little something in their pumpkin head so maybe they'll amount to something. Get in there.
Yes, sir.
Well, what are you going to tell me, boy? Get it out of here. Think he wasn't born with a tongue.
I tried, Mr. Osprey. Honest, I tried.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
Now, you got to listen to me, boy. For years, I've been showing kids how to do this. Kids, they all think they're smarter than you.
Oh, I don't think I'm smarter than you, honest.
Well, if you listened close to me and done exactly like I told you, you wouldn't have had no experience like that.
I tried, Mr. Osprey.
You didn't do it like I told you. You didn't do a thing I told you.
Well, I was awfully scared. That cop came pretty close, awful close.
Well, if you'd listened to me and if you'd opened the window like I showed you how to open it, you'd have been in there and out with a stack full of stuff before that cop even got close.
Yes, sir, I guess I would, but...
But nothing. I got boys all over this city and lots of other cities. I showed them what to do and how to do it. Now, me and you are going back to that store tonight, and me and you are going to come home with a gunny sack full of stuff.
Yes, sir.
And then after we get that, I'm going to show you a few other things. How to disguise yourself up good so nobody can pick you out. How to pick a lock with just a hairpin. How to break a man's arm with just one twist.
Do I have to learn that?
Of course you got to learn that, boy. Sometimes you got to hurt people. Sometimes when you don't hurt people, you get hurt yourself. And hurt bad.
Did you ever hurt anyone?
Only because I had to.
Bad?
Bad enough. I killed him.
Killed him?
Only two.
Oh.
That's when I did my time for. And if I'd killed the third one, I wouldn't done no time at all. But I got soft-hearted. Serves me right. Now, never you get soft-hearted, boy.
Oh, no, sir.
Now, you listen to me. And I'll tell you how we're going to get in that store tonight.
Maybe you ought to use the glass cutter some more.
Shh, boy.
You got it.
Sure, I got it. Okay, Joey, I'll give you a boost up. You unlock the window.
Yeah.
Now grab a hold.
Okay.
Now, up you go. Okay, now. Reach in, unlock the window.
Yes, wait a minute. A little higher.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, I got it.
Good boy. Now come on down. If you hadn't did it like this last night, we wouldn't have had all this bother tonight. You got your gunny sack?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to boost you in. You know what to take. And when you get it, you meet me back the room.
Ain't you coming in with me?
There ain't but one way to learn, boy, and that's do it yourself.
But Mr. Oster...
Don't stand there arguing with me. Now come here, I'll boost you.
It ain't fair.
Now up you go.
Okay, that's enough.
Now jump down. Everything all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Good boy. I'll see you back the room. All right, I'm coming. Joey?
Yeah, it's me.
Just a second. Come in, boy.
Yes, sir.
Well, good work, boy. You did fine. Where's the gunny sack?
I got it, Mr. Osterey. I left it in the shed.
Well, I told you to bring it so I could give you what you got coming.
I was gonna, but...
But what, boy? Speak up.
There was a cop waiting in front of my house.
A cop?
It's a good thing I saw him, Mr. Osterey. An awful good thing.
You snitch. You...
Please, Mr. Osterey, let me go. I didn't have anything to do with it.
What's he doing there, then?
I don't know.
Huh?
Let me go.
All right, boy. If this cop's waiting for you, that ain't good.
What do we do?
Well, I'll tell you, boy. You go on home and get to bed.
But the cop will
get... That don't matter none, boy. You got no record. You get off easy.
But I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to.
I'll just give you a talking to. With me, it's a sight different. I'm on parole. They send me back to prison for life. You wouldn't want that to happen to your old friend Slim Usry, would you?
Oh, no, sir, I wouldn't.
Well, now you see why I got to leave town. Anyway, I got some of my other boys to look in on. I'll be in touch with you, boy. You'll hear from me. You're a good boy.
So, Don, Slim Usry, a parole murderer and tutor in crime, fled to his native town of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where he sought refuge at the home of his sister Etta. But Slim Usry's sojourn in Hattiesburg didn't prove as pleasant as he had hoped.
Slim? Slim! Slim!
Yeah, what's ailing you now?
I asked you to weed the garden. Instead, you sit there all day like you were the landlord waiting for his rent.
If you want the garden, weed it yourself. I ain't budging, Etta. I ain't budging an inch.
Honest, Slim, it just ain't right.
If I feel like it, Etta, I'll sit here all week.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you, Slim. You ought to be out working like other men.
Now, looky here, Etta. If there was work I felt like doing, I'd be out doing it. There ain't no kind of work around this town I feel like doing. Can't you get that through your head?
If you don't work, you're blown back into the penitentiary.
Now, look here, Etta.
I said the penitentiary.
Don't you talk to me like that, Etta.
The whole town's talking about you. They all know what you are. I got to bear the shame.
Who cares?
I could see that you're sent back to jail.
You shut up, you old king.
No, no.
Why should I dirty my hands on you? Fine home you gave your own brother, always nagging. Don't know when to stop.
I guess it was a mistake taking you in.
More of a mistake not coming back.
I guess you better leave, Slim.
I reckon I best.
I want you to be packed when I get home.
What time you coming back?
I won't be back till late tonight.
Hey!
What?
Who's going to fix my supper?
Nobody. You're not eating here again.
Hey, Etta! You old hen. You ain't sending me back no penitentiary. You ain't even going to think about sending me back.
That, Don, was the moment Slim Usry made up his mind to murder his sister Etta. He knew she would walk home that night, and he waited in the clump of weeds until he heard her footsteps.
Etta? Oh. Howdy, Etta. You have a nice time?
Oh, Slim, you scared me.
Did I, Etta?
What were you doing back in those weeds? Did you lose something?
No. I'm just fixing to lose something, that's all.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Etta. Nothing at all.
Are you all packed to go? I don't want you in my house tonight.
I changed my mind, Etta. I'm staying.
Who said so?
I said so, that's who.
No, not in my house.
No?
If you don't go tonight, I'm calling the police.
You call him, Etta. You call him.
Slim, no, don't.
Old hand. Try to send me back to the penitentiary, will you? I'm here to treat a brother. You. You old hen. I'll show you. Treat your brother like a wooden dog. Take care of you.
Huh? Deputy Sheriff Clarkson.
Deputy Clarkson, this is Slim Usry.
Yes, Slim.
It's my sister, Etta, Deputy Clarkson. She left the house yesterday to go visiting. She didn't come home all night.
Where'd she go, Slim?
Well, I don't rightly know, Deputy Clarkson. But you know, Etta, that ain't like her. Something must have happened to her now. Would you help me find her?
All right, Slim, I'll be right over.
So, Don, the murderer, Slim Usry, reported to the authorities that his sister Etta was missing, although it was Usry himself who killed her. But in carrying out his plan to fool the police, Usry ran into unexpected difficulties.
Okay, let's break right here. More from Gangbusters right after these messages on 670 WMAQ.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Boston Blackie.
Edgar Bergen.
John and Blanche Bickerson.
This is Stan Freberg. Would you pay $60 for 60 of the greatest old-time radio shows of all time? Well, now you can by ordering Old Time Radio's Greatest Shows, a 60-episode collection for only $60. The Whistler, Gangbusters, Philip Marlowe, Gunsmoke, and many more. All on top-quality cassettes housed in a designer case. Plus, you'll also receive a 20-page anecdotal booklet giving you the inside story to each and every show.
Hold everything, Stan. This is Carl Amari, owner of Radio Spirits, with a special limited-time offer. If listeners call right now and mention this radio station, they can take $10 off the $60 price. But you must call right now and mention this radio station for this special $10 savings.
Hey, you don't have to convince me. Order toll free 1-800-RADIO-48. That's 1-800-723-4648.
It's time for Internet Jeopardy.
I'll take Internet Service Provider for $100.
They're the fastest growing Internet access company in Chicagoland.
Who is TechPort?
You're correct. You control the board.
I'll take Technical Support for $500.
The company with free 24-hour support.
Who is TechPort?
Right again. Still your turn.
Give me Internet Best Buys for $1,000, Bob.
Now listen closely. They're the company which offers unlimited Internet access, a free homepage for new subscribers, email, and free setup for only one low fee of $19.95 per month. Plus, the first 30 days are free.
Who is TechPort?
Right again. Now, if you answer this next question correctly, you'll double your money and walk away the new Internet Jeopardy champion. How can people sign up with TechPort Complete Internet Access?
That's easy, Bob. They call 1-800-830-4880 or log on to www.techinter.com.
Congratulations, you're our new Internet Jeopardy champion. And remember, TechPort is your best source for complete Internet access. Phone 800-830-4880.
Now, let's get back to Gangbusters.
Now, you were telling us, Chief Pitcock, that Slim Usry murdered his sister, Etta, and then reported her missing.
Yes, Don. And an investigation was started. The weeded area of the neighborhood was on the list of places where deputies thought the woman might be found. And the search there was in progress.
All right, man, let's go this way.
Deputy Clarkson?
Yes, Lynn.
You don't reckon we'd find Etta in here? If anything happened to Etta, it'd break my heart.
I know how you feel, Slim. Let's cut the talk and look.
Okay. Etta.
Matter, Slim?
Hey, boy.
Etta.
Hold it, man.
What's the matter?
Did you find something, Slim? Good Lord.
Etta. Etta.
Come away from it, Slim. Come away.
I won't sleep a wink till I get the man who did this. I won't sleep a wink.
Come in.
Hello, Deputy Clarkson.
Slim.
They said you wanted to see me.
Yes. Come on over and sit down.
Sure, Deputy Clarkson. Well, you got any idea who killed my sis?
Yes, Slim. I've got a few ideas.
Well, you just tell me who it was. I could wring his neck with my two hands. I could...
You could what, Slim?
Well, you can't blame me none, Deputy Clarkson. Poor little Etta never did no harm, no one. Murdered in cold blood like that.
You killed two men yourself, Slim.
Well, that was different.
What was so different about it?
Well, I paid for it. I spent 19 years put away. And I... You don't think it was me killed Etta?
Well, I didn't say you killed her, but you could have.
Well, I didn't. What'd I be killing my own sis for?
I haven't any idea.
It's a fine thing. I come down here to help you, and I get accused of murder. Just because I've been in a little trouble once or twice, you can't let a man have no peace. Not even when they're fixing to bury his poor sister.
Hey, Slim.
Huh?
Come here.
What do you want?
How come it was you, out of all the people looking for Etta, that found her body? You seem to know just where it was.
Well, she just happened to be where I was looking. If I killed her, you don't think I'd be fool enough to find the body, do you?
Slim, I don't know what to think.
Well, Don, a few months went by and no new evidence turned up. Then one day Slim Musri left town and went to Little Rock, Arkansas. Shortly after he arrived, Usri walked into a costumer's shop on Commerce Street and asked to look at a wig and mustache outfit he saw in the window.
Yes, sir. Finest wig and mustache in Little Rock. There you are.
Yeah, not bad. I'd seen better.
I take it you're going to a party?
Oh, I figured on a couple of parties. You got a looking glass, yeah? If they look good on, maybe I'll take them.
Right in back here, sir?
Oh, yeah.
The mustache sticks right on.
I can see how it works.
Very good. Very good indeed. Nobody'd recognize you, not with that on.
How much?
Well, now, let's see. That'd be, $11.80 with the tax.
Okay.
Shall I wrap them up for you?
Sure, wrap them. You don't think I'm going to wear them now, do you?
Attention, all squads. Be on alert for bandit who robbed auto rental agency, Six and Scott, of several hundred dollars in cash. This man described as tall and slender. Apparently wore black mustache and wig as disguise. Caution, this man is armed and dangerous.
Oh, come on in, Sergeant.
What a morning, Captain. I had that witness look at every picture in the file. No luck. Not with that wig and mustache disguise. Good disguise.
You know, I can't remember anyone using a disguise like that on a holdup in years. This must be an old-timer.
Well, the victim thought he was about 40, Captain. It doesn't make him too much of an old-timer. I wonder if he bought that wig and mustache in one of the shops here in Little Rock.
Maybe. But they can't tell whether that stuff came from their shop until they see it. And it looks like we'll have to get our man before they can see it.
Huh?
Well, Joey, sit down, boy, sit down.
Thanks, Mr. Usri.
Call me Slim, Joey. People around here know me as Slim.
Okay, Slim.
Fine gravy you growed. How about a beer, Joey?
Oh, no, thanks. Later, maybe. Well, I came as soon as I got your letter.
Yeah. I wrote to you, boy, because I like you. And I want to do something for you. I was sure glad to hear you didn't go to that reformatory.
Well, it was like you said. They gave me a talking to and let me go. They haven't caught me since.
That's good boy, Joey.
I figured when I got your letter, you needed some help.
Not just yet, boy. First, you've got to finish your lessons.
Lessons? Well, I could do okay now. I've been doing okay.
Well, maybe you could, but we've got to be sure about it. Now, tonight, I'm going to try my old disguise trick again. You recollect I was telling you once about disguises?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, boy, tonight, I got a nice little old cafe all picked out. It'll be so easy, I won't need help from you. I wouldn't need you even if you were ready. So you just stick around my room.
What'll you have?
This.
Hey,
got... Reach.
What's the matter?
Everybody quiet.
Wait a minute.
Wait for nothing. I'm in a hurry. Where's the dough?
I'll get it.
Hey.
It was an accident.
I don't like accidents. Now, don't anybody move till I'm gone. Anybody follow? Get him.
How bad is he, Sergeant?
Luckily, not so bad. Both flesh wounds, Captain. This is his room.
Okay. Let's go in. Hello, Mr. Wallace. How do you feel now?
Oh, not bad, considering.
I'm Captain Crossman.
Oh, hello.
Mr. Wallace. Do you think you could recognize the man who held up your cafe and shot you?
I don't know. Maybe I could. I ought to know that mustache anyway.
Mm-hmm. Is this the mustache?
Yeah, that's it. I'd swear that's it.
It was found in an alley near your cafe. The holdup man was seen running up that alley.
That's it, all right.
Thanks, Mr. Walters. We know where it was bought. Now all we've got to do is find the man who bought it.
Tell you, Joey, just like I tell all my boys. If you miss doing something one way, no matter how many times it worked, it ain't good no more.
That seems crazy to me. All you gotta do is get another mustache.
No, boy, the police and everybody else on that mustache and wig trick. I gotta try something else.
Yeah, but you promised I could try the mustache trick.
I said no, boy. When I say no, I mean it. Maybe we pick up and go someplace else and try it, but not here in Little Rock.
Oh, it's nuts, Slim. And we're just getting set here.
Well, I don't know where I'm going to stay or not. They got a big charge against me. I could have killed that man last night.
Well, the guy was shot up a little. Serves him right.
Maybe I should have killed him.
Sure. So, he'd have been number three.
Joey. Number four.
Number four?
You heard me.
You mean you killed somebody since I saw you last?
What if I did? If you want no account. And getting back, we got to change our way of operating. We've got to just... Boy, where are you going?
I'm going out to some air.
Well, now watch out where you go and what you do.
Just going out to get you a present.
Present, boy? For me?
Sure. And one for myself. I'll see you later, Slim.
This is Sergeant Woods. We've got men planted at that costume store. Nothing doing yet, Captain.
Well, keep them there. And at the other stores, too.
Okay, Captain, but it's pretty much of a shot in the dark. This fellow'd be a chump to come back for another mustache.
Maybe. But if he does come back, I want a welcoming party for him.
Joey?
Yeah, Slim, open up.
Where you been, boy? Get in here.
I told you I was going out to buy a present.
Is that it there?
Uh-huh, that's it.
Well, don't stand there, boy. If you're going to give it to me, give it here.
I got two of them.
What is it? Give it here, boy.
Not until you promise I can use one.
One what?
One of these mustache outfits.
Mustache outfits?
Uh-huh.
Where'd you get it?
Hey, let go. Please, Slim, let go, will you?
Where'd you get it?
At the same store you showed me. Please, Slim, you hurt me. Please.
I ought to kill you, boy. I ought to beat your brains out.
No, please.
You could have brought the cops here. You know that.
There were no cops. I look good, honest. Let go, Slim.
Huh? No cops?
I'm positive. I didn't see anybody.
Well, as long as you didn't see no cops, I guess there'd be no cops coming here, huh?
Sure. Everything's okay?
Yeah. You didn't listen to me, Joey. I kill people who don't pay no attention.
Now, Slim, don't do nothing.
Come here, you miserable...
No, Joey! Didn't mean nothing.
Didn't mean nothing, now.
Oh, please.
Turn
it loose.
Huh? Police officers, you're under arrest.
Huh? Me?
Please, I didn't do nothing. He was trying to kill me.
We'll see about that, son. Come on, both of you.
Now watch where you're pulling.
Come on, you.
Okay, kid. Let's go.
No, I don't want to go to jail.
Come on, boy. It's just another lesson.
It should have been the first lesson. It should have been the first.
So, Don, that was the end of the teacher of crime. And Usry, who thought he had committed a perfect murder, made the worst mistake of all. He told someone about it. And the boy, Joey, told the police. In the Little Rock jail, William Usry confessed the murder of his sister, Etta. Usry was returned to Mississippi, where he died in the electric chair in the Forest County Jail a few months ago.
Well, congratulations, Chief Pitcock, to you and to the men of the Little Rock Police Department who solved this terrible crime. Principal roles in tonight's dramatization were played by Bill Smith and Jack Grimes. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production. And then...
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.